Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 45 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Shamari Mosley.
They donated at Frontier Housing. We'll work with them. So there's the funds there for the folks at North Fork.
Community leaders are helping residents find new housing.
The University of Kentucky is planning a normal fall semester.
COVID-19 vaccine eligibility expanded today.
The USDA is working to connect college students to SNAP benefits.
Overdose deaths are on the rise.
In sports, postseason play tips off tonight in the 16th region.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Showers this evening with temperature falling to 42 by 8 p.m., then rising to around 47 during the remainder of the night. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The development of a Moorhead property into a shopping center is moving forward. The North Fork Mobile Home Park property was sold last week, and residents were alerted that they need to relocate by April 30th. Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark says the community is working to help those residents find new housing options.
There was a large donor that wanted to donate some money in order to help some folks with homeless. And so we kind of steered those folks over to Frontier Housing because Frontier Housing has the mechanisms to be able to issue grants and do those kind of things and vet the people that needs the money.
Frontier Housing is currently accepting donations to help North Fork residents.
The University of Kentucky announced plans Friday to return to normal operations for the fall 2021 semester. UK student body president Courtney Willer isn't closing the chapter on her senior year the way she thought. She tells WKYT students are excited to return to normal.
Really, the sunshine this past week helped. There were students on campus, and I was like, wow, this is crazy. Students are excited. They're excited to go back to the classroom, to network, to have friends, and to smile at the person next to them. We're all over the Zoom fatigue, right? We're all over it.
UK also announced commencement will be held in person May 14th through the 16th.
More Kentuckians who have underlying conditions that could make a battle with COVID more severe are able to get the vaccine today. Dr. Stephen Stack is the state public health commissioner. He tells WYMT the CDC created lists, which are broken down by conditions that are at increased risk.
The CDC has two lists of conditions that may place you at elevated risk for severe COVID disease.
Individuals who are on the new list became eligible for the vaccine today.
There are new opportunities to help connect more students to food assistance. The USDA is allowing new flexibility so low-income traditional students temporarily can qualify for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Betsy Suver is the Bureau Chief of SNAP and Cash Policy and Technical Assistance for the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. She explains the changes, which are dependent on the student filing a FAFSA application.
It used to say participating in a work study, but now all they have to do is that they are eligible to participate in a work study. And the second one is completely new, and this is students with an expected family contribution, or EFC, of zero.
Food insecurity is more prevalent among non-traditional students, those age 25 and older, and those who are parents.
The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services recognizes Kentucky as ground zero of the opioid overdose epidemic. With overdose rates increasing rapidly, many are looking for more addiction treatment options. John Wilson is the CEO of the newly opened ARC's Crown Recovery Center in Springfield. He tells LAX 18 he does not regret opening a center during a pandemic.
The need for drug addiction treatment exists more now than ever because of COVID. The longer that we wait, the more people die. That's just the reality.
Crown Recovery Center will be one of the largest addiction treatment centers in the United States once it opens to full capacity.
A Senate bill criminalizing sex crimes by police is headed to the governor's desk. WMKY's Josh Grogan has more.
Senate Bill 52 will make it illegal for peace officers to engage in a sexual act with someone under investigation under arrest or in custody by amending second-degree sexual abuse, third-degree rape, and third-degree sodomy statuses. The bill was approved by a 93-1 vote and is headed to the governor for his signature or veto. Another bill was anonymously approved by the House but will return to the Senate for concurrence. Senate Bill 80 would strengthen the police decertification process by expanding the number of acts considered professional wrongdoing. Such acts would include unjustified use of excessive or deadly force in engaging in a sexual relationship with a victim. If approved, Senate Bill 80 will be sent to the governor's desk. For WMKY News, I'm Josh Grogan.
A former Kentucky state representative and political activist says he is strongly considering a run for the U.S. Senate. Charles Booker made that announcement Sunday on KET's Connections with Renee Shaw program. Booker is a Democrat who served one term recently in the state house. He ran for the U.S. Senate in 2020 on a progressive platform touting the Green New Deal and Medicare for All. After his close loss in the primary to Amy McGrath, Booker continued his activism by launching Hood to the Holler. The nonprofit says it focuses on uniting people by breaking down barriers and transforming the future.
When floodwaters poured into the region, many buildings in Paintsville were hit hard. The Veterans Referral Center lost equipment as more than 4 feet of water seeped into the building on Euclid Avenue. Director and Service Officer Doug Murphy tells WIMT that the community has poured out in support to help replace the things they can.
Feels bad. I mean, you know, stuff you can't replace, you can't replace. We don't get any government money. We don't get any organizational money. Everything that we get comes directly from charitable contributions. So it's a get by to get by from, you know, from month to month, year to year.
The center continues to operate using the resources that it still has on hand. Those involved said keeping the veteran outreach available is important, regardless of the setback.
According to a newly released federal investigation, heat from a deadly gas pipeline explosion in Kentucky burned so hot it melted the siding on a home 1,100 feet away. The rupture of the 30-inch width regional gas pipeline in August 2019 in Lincoln County killed a woman and sent five others to the hospital. The National Transportation Safety Board, which is investigating the blast, released hundreds of files related to the investigation this week. The NTSB said a probable cause determination of the explosion would be issued in a final report at a later date. The pipeline is operated by Canadian-based Enbridge Incorporated. The explosion scorched the ground around the pipeline, destroyed five homes, and burned about 30 acres of land. The heat from the blast killed 58-year-old Lisa Derringer. Five other people suffered minor burns and smoke inhalation, according to the NTSB documents. State police investigators said at the time that Derringer may have seen or heard the explosion and tried to flee. It took hours for firefighters to douse the flames, with trucks repeatedly refilling their tanks and returning to the scene.
A suspect was arrested today in connection to the death of a man who was found inside a burned car on a Bourbon County farm. Police say 34-year-old Cecil Russell has been charged with murder and tampering with physical evidence. He's being held at the Fayette County Detention Center on a $1 million bond. The coroner identified the body last month as Lazarus Parker. The coroner confirmed Parker was shot and placed in the trunk of the car, which was then set on fire. According to LEX 18, Russell shot and killed Parker after an argument at a residence on Dakota Street in Lexington. Russell then transported Parker's body to Bourbon County. Parker's body was found the morning of February 9th.
Kentucky State Police are investigating after human remains were found in the Maze Lick area of Mason County. On March 9th, KSP received a call after remains were found near the Robertson County line. The remains were unidentifiable and have been sent to the state medical examiner's office for an autopsy. The case is still under investigation by Kentucky State Police.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high near 67. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 45. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 66. Wednesday night, showers likely, mainly after 2 a.m. Cloudy with a low around 52. Thursday, showers and possibly a thunderstorm, high near 64. Chance of precipitation is 80%. Thursday night, showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm, mostly cloudy with a low around 44. Friday, a 50% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 50.
On our feature segment today, Morehead State University is utilizing new grant funding through the Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education to add to its multi-tiered program of mental health services on campus. WMKY's Carrie Stambo has the story.
The Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education announced this month it has tapped more than $1.5 million in federal funds to improve mental health services for students on college campuses. Morehead State University Dean of Students Max Ammond says the university received more than $45,000, which it has already put to work through a variety of programs.
We are fortunate enough, just like the other public universities in the Commonwealth, to be able to receive some trickle-down funding to support mental health needs of our students.
The remainder of state funds not going directly to universities are being spent on two state contracts that will train campus personnel and provide web-based interventions. The first contract is with Therapy Assistance Online, or TAO. TAO provides online interactive programs that can be accessed anytime. Ammon says he has wanted to get MSU students access to TAO for the last several years.
And so I'm really excited about having access to this, and I'm really thankful that CPE took the initiative in order to acquire this for us.
TAO uses low-intensity, high-engagement therapy to connect those in need with either self-directed educational therapy and or phone and video conferences with therapists. MSU officials are undergoing their final stages of preparation before rolling out the program later this month. A second state contract with Mental First Aid will train MSU staff and students to recognize and respond to mental health concerns. Ammon says the university plans to train instructors for long-term sustainability. Among those targeted to receive the training will be resident advisors.
If we can have our own instructors on campus, then that's going to better enable us to be able to offer that mental health first aid training to other students, which my personal opinion is I think that's going to have a much larger impact than just offering it to employees.
MSU has tried to be proactive in offering mental health services to its students, particularly during the uncertainty of the pandemic, according to Ammons. He says the university recently established a partnership with Pathways, a community behavioral health provider. A Pathways counselor has been working specifically with MSU students who have been placed in quarantine or isolation.
Reaching out to them, checking in with them, making sure that they're doing okay, seeing if there are any things that any additional resources they need, any help they need, helping them develop tools for their own mental health.
Ammons adds the university is committed to mental health in the long term and is already discussing how to fund the expansions after grant funds dry up. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Carrie Stambo.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
It's 45 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Shamari Mosley and Keneally Roberts, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Rachel Turner has a look at sports coming up, but first I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this dreary Monday evening.
Postseason 16th regional basketball action begins tonight. I'm Rachel Turner. is postseason time for the 61st District, with rounds set to take on Menifee County at home for the first round. The matchup is one of many set to take place across the Commonwealth this evening. Roundhead coach Sean Thacker says his guys know it's do or die time, and they are ready to go.
We took last week off and didn't play any games, and you know, as coach, you wonder about those decisions, but you know, and then you watch the NCAA and seeing teams that were canceling out of the tournament. So, you know, I think we had a great week of practice. I think we pushed them really hard, and you know, just looking forward to getting back on the floor tonight, trying to see if we can punch a ticket to LST Johnson Arena.
Tip off against the Wildcats in Moorhead this evening is set for 7 o'clock. Also in district play this evening, Bath County will be at Fleming County for the other 61st District matchup. In the 62nd District, West Carter will be at East Carter to take on Morgan County. And Elliott County will face East Carter in Morgan County. All of those games are set for a 7 o'clock tip-off. The 63rd District Tournament will be in Raceland. The first tip-off this evening will be at 5:30 between the Rams and Greenup County. Russell and Lewis County are set to face off at 8. Only one game will be played in the 64th District this evening. Fairview will be at Boyd County Middle School to take on the Lions at 8 p.m. District play won't start for area girls teams until tomorrow evening. Rounds girls just wrapped up their regular season last week and has gotten to rest up a few days before they hit the postseason. Reflecting on the regular season, Coach Matt Stokes says between the pandemic and some extreme weather last month, the journey for his team has been significant.
It's been tough on our girls. You know, but they've been great. They come to practice whenever we get a practice. They, you know, they enjoy being there. I think it opened some of our eyes, including mine, you know, how much you actually have when, you know, you can't be in the gym all the time. You can't be around your players and the other coaches. You know, it makes you appreciate it a little bit more, and I think the girls are really starting to take that in.
Round is set to face Bath County in round one of the 61st District Tournament tomorrow evening. Tip-off in Moorhead is set for 7 o'clock. The Moorhead State softball team's final game in a three-part series keeps getting pushed back this afternoon. The Eagles fell to Austin Peay twice in Sunday's doubleheader, 4-1 and 4-0. Head coach Samantha Jones said going into the matchup that her team had their own focus for the contest.
In the pitching circle is continuing to working corner to corner, zone to zone, but then also with hitting, like our base running is, you know, I believe it's probably one of the best in the conference when it comes to stolen bases. We call it just causing chaos on the base pass, and I think our team does a really great job of making sure that they do that on a consistent basis.
The Eagles return to their home field this week. They'll host Kentucky State for a doubleheader on Wednesday. The MSU men's basketball team is in Indiana this week, preparing for the first round of the NCAA tournament. The Eagles will face third seed West Virginia on Friday night. Head coach Preston Spraldon says playing in this year's tournament will have a long-term impact on his program.
I always look at things from a recruiting standpoint, and I just think that, you know, potentially the landscape of recruiting changing, you know, it's still up in the air as to what the NCAA is going to do with the transfer rule and things like that. Obviously, the transfer market's going to be a big part of the recruiting moving forward. And I think when you've got success, or had success rather, like we're having right now, it certainly makes it more appealing.
Game time Friday night is set for 9:50 p.m. in Indianapolis. Moorhead soccer team fell at Eastern Kentucky University on Friday, 2-0. The loss moves the Eagles to 0-4 on the season. Head coach Warren Lipka said going into the matchup that it would be a challenging contest.
It's always a scrap, you know. It's EKU and Moorhead State. Everything that we play them in is always a battle. So, you know, we're just going to see who, and it's not going to be a very pleasant day. It's going to be kind of rainy and wet and that, so. You know, when those sort of things happen, anything can happen.
The Eagles are back in action tomorrow afternoon. They face off with UT Martin at home. Game time is set for 3 p.m. The Eagle football team lost at Presbyterian College on Friday, 31-16. The loss moves the Eagles to 0-2 on the season. Head coach Rob Tenier said going into the contest that while they had some solid veterans on the team, they also have a lot of new faces.
I think it's a good opportunity to go out and not only compete and try and win a football game, but continue to evaluate your players and see how they fit, develop fundamentally. But the big thing, I just want to see us playing competitive football. I want us playing with an edge, a toughness, and really playing a physical brand of football.
The Eagles return to Jane's Stadium this Saturday. They host Stetson at noon. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Rachel Turner.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center, presenting the Appalachian Arts and Entertainment Awards Saturday, March 20th at 7 p.m. A virtual event. Tickets can be purchased online at cmh23.com. Awards presented by the Mountain Arts Center, Big Sandy Community and Technical College, Prestonsburg Tourism, CMH23, Highlands ARH, and UK Healthcare Markey Cancer Center. The Appalachian Arts and Entertainment Awards on Saturday, March 20th. Tickets and information online at cmh23.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Jones and S&P 500 both closed at all-time highs as investors grew optimistic about the economic reopening from the pandemic, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 174.82 at 32,953.46. The S&P 500 was up 25.6 at 3968.94. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 139.84 at 13,459.71. And once again, both the Dow and S&P 500 closing at all-time highs. Stocks that will benefit most from a swift economic reopening were your big winners today, as American Airlines was up 7.7% and United Airlines was up 8.3%. This as air travel over the weekend hit its highest level in more than a year. The 10-year Treasury bond was little changed at 1.61%, which helped NASDAQ stocks to move up. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.25% at $65.44 a barrel. Gold was up 0.6% at $1,730 an ounce. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was AEP up $1.24 at $82.28. CSX down 37 cents at $93.48. It was Marathon Petroleum up 11 cents at $57.86. App Harvest up $1.18 at $24.51. Community Trust Bank down $1.03 at $46.16. And Lowe's was up $2.65 to finish at $174.20. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area, including the cities of Ashland, Grayson, and Salt Lake, the weather for tonight are showers mainly before 9 p.m., with the temperature falling to near 42 by 8 p.m., then rising to around 47 during the remainder of the night.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Carrie Stambo, Rachel Turner, Josh Grogan, Wiley Tanner, Keneally Roberts, Heather Fannin, and Ben Hall. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Carrie Stambo. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio. WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Shamari Mosley and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.